Join me this morning in Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. It says these words, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, and keep my commandments, and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth." Join me in prayer here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time that we can gather around your word and pray that you feed us with your heavenly manna. Lord, thank you for being a good and gracious God to us. And Father, thank you that your word is truth. And Father, bless your word to our hearts. We're needy people. Father, we need to hear from thee, God. We need to hear your word in our hearts and your still small voice behind us saying, this is the way and walk ye in it. So Lord, bless this word to our hearts here today. Encourage us, strengthen us. And Father, I know that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So Lord, bless us. Help me be a vessel that brings glory and honor to your name and the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Lord, we thank you for being our God. And I pray for each one that's under the sound of your word here this morning, that they would be encouraged and strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's call to a life of wisdom. You know, wisdom is important for us as God's people. There's a story that in Aesop's Fables concerning a turtle that envied the ducks who swam in the pond where he lived. As he listened to them describe the wonder of the world they had seen, he was filled with a great desire to travel. But being a turtle, he was very limited in his travels. Finally, two ducks offered to help him out. One of the ducks said, "We'll each hold an end of a stick in our mouths. You hold the stick in the middle of your mouth, and we will carry you through the air so that you can see what we see when we fly." But the ducks said to the turtle, "Be quiet or you will be sorry." The turtle loved the idea. He took hold of the stick and away he went into the sky. As they went, the ducks flew above the trees and circled around the meadows. The turtle was amazed and overjoyed at the new perspective on the world. He marveled at the flowers and on the hillside. Just about that time, a crow flew past. Astonished at the sight of the turtle flying through the air, carried by two ducks, the crow cried out, "Surely this must be the king of all the turtles." The turtle opened his mouth and said, "Why, certainly." But as he spoke, he lost his grip on the stick and fell to the ground below. You know, for us as people, there are times we need to speak. We need wisdom. And there's times not to speak. We need wisdom. Sometimes we speak too much, and that gets us into trouble. Abraham Lincoln once said these words, I believe. He said, "It's better to remain silent and thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt." You know, wisdom is something we need in our lives. You know, we can look at this story in Aesop's Fables and kind of smile a little bit and think about it, you know, the foolishness of the turtle to open his mouth. But on a more serious note here, you know, do we really perceive about the future or think about things that are coming down the line? Do we really consider eternity? Do we really consider life itself and the decisions that we make? Do we really value wisdom? Do we see wisdom from God's sight? This was from the Roanoke Times on March 31st, 2013. They had this story. It was an Easter Sunday in 2013 in the southbound side of I-77 near the North Carolina-Virginia border was closed for hours following a massive chain of accidents. Police later recorded that 17 different collisions involving 95 cars and trucks. The wrecks left 3 people dead and more than 24 injured, many of them seriously. Cause of the accident? Was people driving into a thick fog that descended over the interstate that Sunday afternoon. A police spokesman said visibility at that time of the accident was down to less than 100 feet or less. As people continued to drive blindly forward, they could not see the danger that was just ahead of them until it was too late. Prudence or wisdom also reminds us to be on guard for danger, not just in the present, but the future as well. Because the way of our mind works, we often tend to discount what may happen in the future simply because it hasn't happened yet. You know, wisdom is something we need, and God calls out to us. God wants us to have a life of wisdom. Now, who knows the future? God does. Who knows the past? God does. Who knows the present? God does. He gives us wisdom to make decisions in our life. He gives us wisdom how to live our life. To be skillful in living, God desires us to be. God has given us the book of Proverbs. He has taken wisdom and boiled it down to little nuggets of truth. Little nuggets of truth he's given us here of wisdom for us to lay hold of. Well, what do we find here this morning in Proverbs chapter 4? God's word says, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding." Now, that word "here," I'd like to talk about here for a minute. What does it mean to hear biblically? Now, are we just talking about when we say hear just audibly? Do we hear just sounds and just hear it audibly? Is that what in verse 1 of chapter 4 the word "hear" means? No, it's much deeper than that. Much, much deeper. In James chapter 1, verse 22, it says, "But be ye doers of the word, not just hearers only." So there's God's word makes a distinction between those that hear and those that do. Because a lot of people hear God's word, but they don't do it. They hear it audibly, but they don't hear it with their spirit. They hear it audibly, but they don't embrace it with their heart. They hear it audibly, but it doesn't affect their intellect, their emotion, and their will. They just hear it, but they're not really biblical hearers. Because when verse 1 says, "Hear ye children," that is not just knowing it audibly or letting it into your mind. It's getting into your heart and your spirit and how you think and how you function in life. It has an act of your will connected to it. When you hear biblically, it translates into obedience. When you hear biblically, it translates into what you do because it has an impact upon you. James 1:22, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only." And that last part of the verse says, "deceiving your own selves." There's a lot of people that are deceived. They hear God's word. They can quote God's word, but they don't do God's word, and they think they're good to go. And God wants us to be very clear. When you hear me, it's going to change your life. When you hear me, it's going to affect how you live and how you think and how you act. Because God wants us to be a doer, not just a hearer. So in verse 1, "Hear ye children the instructions of a father." Now, the instructions of a father. Do we as fathers have an obligation to teach our children? Absolutely. You go through the pages of Scripture and you find God encouraging fathers to be leaders, fathers to be teachers, fathers to be one to communicate the eternal truths of God's word to the next generation. You know, if fathers drop the ball in teaching their children, all it takes is one generation to be lost then. One generation. "Hear ye children the instructions of a father, and attend to no understanding." If you have your Bibles with you this morning at home, I want you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy here, chapter 6 in Deuteronomy. And God has some words here. Now, in verse 4, it starts out in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Now, when you love God, you're going to want to honor God. When you love God, you're not ashamed of God. And how much does God want us to love him? With all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of us. He wants all of us. That's how much we love him. And verse 6 says, "And these words, which I command thee this day," in Deuteronomy chapter, "shall be in thine heart." See, again, it's not just intellectually knowing it, but it's in your heart where your will resides, that you're going to do what God says because he's on the throne of your heart. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now, what does God want us to do? It's, as fathers, it's in our hearts. What does he want us to do? Verse 7, And thou shalt teach them diligently unto your children. Now, as fathers, that's a huge responsibility. To teach them diligently unto a child. I knew a man, he shared with me one time, with tears in his eyes. He told me the story of his family. When his children were young, he had devotions with them, and they liked it, and it was going good. And he worked hard. He drove a truck. He was on the road a lot. He'd come home, and the kids say, "Dad, we're having devotion tonight." He says, "No, I'm too tired. You know, we won't do it tonight." And one day went to a week, and a week to a month, and they just never had devotions anymore. And then when his kids got to be teenagers, guess what? They started having their own will. And he realized, boy, this ship's not going in the right direction. And he told his teenage boys, "We're going to have devotions tonight." And you know what they did? They laughed at him. He said, "Dad, we don't have time for that." And he couldn't get his children to listen to him anymore. You know why? He wasn't diligent. You know what diligent means? Day in and day out, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, you're doing it. You're diligent. You're on it. You got it covered. And thou shalt teach diligently unto thy children. Now, people are teaching our children everywhere in the media. Children are being taught everywhere they go. But do they hear your voice over the voices of the world trying to get their attention? And thou shalt teach diligently unto thy children. Verse 7 says, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. Okay, just casual conversation, you talk about God. And verse 7 says, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, just normal everyday life, you integrate God into it. You see a beautiful sunrise. You say, "Son, see that sunrise? Didn't God make a beautiful sunrise here this morning?" You just put that right there. And you can do all kinds of ways to bring God into the picture. And thou shalt teach thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sit in thine house, when thou walk by the way, when thou lie down, when thou rise up. You talk to them about God. You know, God wants us to teach them. In Proverbs, it says, hear the instructions of a father. You know, we need to have that burden for our children. We need to have the burden. In that same chapter, in verse 12, it says these words, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. You know, America is more Bible illiterate than ever before. Can that be? You know why? Because fathers are not teaching their children. Christian homes are not emphasizing the scriptures the way they should. Sometimes we are too busy for our own good. And if you don't have time for God, you're just too busy in the wrong things. Because God is first in everything. Lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt. Your heritage. Where do we come from? How do we get in this land? What made America a great nation? Our forefathers that carved this nation out of the wilderness. They believed this book, the Word of God, and they taught it with authority, and they lived by it. But if we don't teach our children the authority of God's Word, it's not just a book that is nice, that has good morals in it. It's thus saith the Lord. God says. This is what God wants. The Word of God. Verse 14 says, you shall not go after other gods, the god of the people which are round about you. You know, our children, their hearts are drawn in every direction. Every direction they're drawn. Are we as fathers encouraging them to teach them? Now, our children may be grown out of the home. Can you teach your grandchildren the word of the Lord? You know, we can be as fathers to the fatherless. We can be those that speak up for righteousness in our land, that hold up the word of the testimony, the grace of God through Jesus Christ, the plan of salvation that Christ died on the cross, buried, and rose again. If you repent of your sins, you can be saved. We can teach people that. We don't go after other gods that are round about us. Verse 18 says, "And thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord." That's wisdom, of doing what God wants. You know, wisdom is conforming your life. You have skill in living to conform your life into the image of Christ. You're working toward being like Him, that you have wisdom to know that one day you're going to stand before God and give an account of yourself to a holy and righteous God that judges righteously. You know, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool God none of the time, because He knows why you did it, when you did it, how long you did it. He knows your motive. He knows your thoughts. And on judgment day, what are you going to say? What you want to do is live a life that pleases God. Because once you step out in eternity, what's done is done. It can't be undone. And on this side of eternity, God says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And not just forgive us, but to cleanse us, to make us clean on the inside. That we know we're forgiven, that the burden of guilt is gone. That's what God can do on this side of eternity. We want to do, in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 6, we want to do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord. And what does He see? He sees everything. And what we do in secret, God knows. And verse 18 goes on to say that it may be well with thee. May be well with thee. And that thou may go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. You know, verse 20 says, and when thy son shall ask thee in time to come, saying, what mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgment which the Lord our God has commanded you? You know, sons, they're growing up. They're trying to decide, which way do I go? Or who are we as Americans? Or who are we as God's people? Why do we live the way we live? And you can you can open the scripture and say, this is why we do what we do. This is how we live as we live. The testimonies and statutes and judgments the Lord gave to us. God gave us these things. It's important. It's very important. And verse 25 of that chapter says, and it shall be our righteousness. You know, what God gives to us makes us right with God. When we follow the scripture, it makes us right standing with God. It'll be our righteousness that we live the right way. If, you see that word there? If we have a choice. If we observe to do all these things. Now, if we don't obey, that's the downside. And that's where we get into trouble and the chastening hand of the Lord as God's people. This chapter here, chapter 4, verse 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Proverbs chapter 4, 5. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. You know, how do we get wisdom? Well, James chapter 1, if any of you lack wisdom, skill in living, is your life going good for you? Are you enjoying the blessings of God? If you lack wisdom, do you have a challenge in front of you? I don't know how to handle this. I can do this or this or that. What is the best thing to do here? They're all good choices, but what is the best one? If any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5 says, let him ask of God. How much does God know? He knows everything. How much does God love us? He loved us enough He gave His own Son in our place to be our sin bearer. That's how much He loved us. He spared not His own Son, but gave Him up freely for us. If God loves us that much and knows all things, don't you think you can entreat God in a situation in life where you want to honor Him and do His will? Now, sometimes you have to wait on God in the long hours. That's part of the Christian life. Sometimes we wait on God, but God is always faithful. He's always faithful. If you lack wisdom, you ask of God. He gives to all men liberally. He's generous. He's not stingy. And upbraideth not. What does that mean? He doesn't rebuke you for coming to Him. He doesn't get irritated You want wisdom? He enjoys blessing God's people. And it shall be what? Given him. But there's a condition. You want wisdom? There's a condition. Verse 6 says, let him ask in what faith? You got to believe God is God. And you got to believe if he gives you an answer and you think, that seems kind of tough. But God says, you do this and you're going to get the blessing. Now, this is how God works. We approach him by faith. I believe God is, and he's a reward of them that diligently seek him. And I pray to him, and he says, this is what I want you to do. And in obedience, I obey that. Then what do I get? I get the blessing afterwards. See, sometimes we want God, give me the blessing first, and then I'll obey you. God says it doesn't work that way. You obey me first, and then I'll give you the blessing. And so when we ask of God, we have to ask in faith, believing. Our faith shows obedience. When we believe God and we pray to God and God says, this is your plan, this is what I want you to do, and you're reading in scriptures and God says, this is how you handle it, and you know it's from God, you walk in faith and you obey him. You know, there's people that don't trust God in their finances. They're stretched beyond measure over here. And God says, you honor me, I'm going to honor you. And they look at their finances and they say, if I give to God, that takes away from this bill or this bill or this situation. I can't trust God. God says, I'm telling you how it works. You ask in faith and you got financial problems, let's say. And God says, will you start tithing and honoring me? And I'm going to honor you and I'll make a way that you don't think there can be a way. You ask in faith, nothing wavering, you trust God. How do you know when you're trusting God? When you obey God and you leave the consequences up to him. That's trusting God. You do what God says in the right way. Do you remember in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And when they stood before King Nebuchadnezzar and the king, because they wouldn't bow down to his statue, and the king commanded, they said, King, I've got to tell you something. God is able to deliver us. But if not, you ever caught that little phrase, but if not, we're not going to bow down or serve your God, your statue. And Nebuchadnezzar got furious. And he threw them into the fiery furnace. Now, were they trusting God? Absolutely. Because you know what? They left the consequences up to God. And what happened to them in the fiery furnace? Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fire, and it was how they did it in those days. It was a huge shaft. They fed it from below on the hillside, and he could see them when they were thrown in from the top down through. That Nebuchadnezzar says, "I see four men in there. I see, and one looks like the Son of God." That's what he said. He only threw three in, but he said he saw four. And when you trust God, you know who's with you. Jesus said, "I will never leave you nor what forsake you." And when you trust God and you lean on him, he's going to be with you through the fire. That's trusting God. Let him ask in faith. You trust God, it's going to work out. You obey him, he's going to bless you. Let him ask, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind. You're just going to be all over the place spiritually, emotionally, relationally. You're going to be tossed to and fro. I trust God, I don't trust God. God knows what's best. He's wise, but he's not wise. And you make your own plan. You're just emotional wreck because you can't trust God and obey him. Let not that man think, a double-minded man, that is, that he shall receive anything. God can't work in your life if you don't have faith and you don't trust him. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You know, chapter 4 here, Proverbs. Hear ye children, the instruction of the father, and attend to know understanding. Attend to know understanding. You know, there has to be an attitude of the children. Fathers, you can do your work and you can teach them. But you know, there's an attitude that children need to have. And you know what that attitude is? A teachable spirit. A teachable spirit. Attend to no understanding. You know, a child has to respect their parents. A young person needs to be able to respect the wisdom of their parents. Now, something I've come to realize in life, the more you know, the more you realize how little you knew. And when you're a young person, you think you know everything. You have the answers for everything. And there was an old theologian one time, and somebody asked him about his life, and he said, when I was young, I had an answer for everything. You give me any topic, I had an answer for it. But as he got older, and the more he studied God's word, and the more he grew in his knowledge of God through the years, and the more he saw God working in this way and that way in the world, and the more he contemplated the greatness and goodness of God, the less he saw of his own wisdom in his own mind and perspective on things. And at the end of his life, somebody said, what's the greatest truth in the Bible that you've come to know? And he simply said, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Because he could not understand why God, an eternal, perfect, holy, righteous God, would love a sinner like him. See, that's wisdom when you understand how great God is. And often when we're young, we have answers for everything. But we don't have wisdom for anything sometimes. And here in verse 1, it says, hear ye children, the instructions of a father. Does a father have a responsibility? Absolutely. Does a child, a young person? They do. They need to listen to their parents. And they need to have a teachable spirit about life. Now, it says here, in verse 2, for I give you good doctrine. Now, what is doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. Doctrine is teaching. Give you good doctrine. In Timothy, it says these words. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is what's right. Okay? When in Proverbs here, when it says, for I give you good doctrine, you know what this Bible teach? Doctrine means teaching. I give you good teaching. Now, there's unbelievers in this world. They try to tear the Bible to pieces, try to find fault with it. They try to find what they perceive as inaccuracies or whatever. But I tell you this, this Bible is good doctrine. It's good teaching. I give you good teaching. In 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. God breathed this book. It's from the heart of God, the mind of God. And the wisdom of God is in these pages of scripture. All scripture is given by inspiration. It is profitable for doctrine, what's right. For reproof, for what's wrong. For correction, to make it right. For instruction in righteousness, to keep it right. That's the Bible here. And in Proverbs here, when it says for young people that I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law. God's word is perfect for establishing the heart and the testimony. Now, Solomon reflects here in his own life, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words and keep my commandments and live. You know, that's what a father does. He instructs his children's hearts toward the word of God. And again, verse 5 says, get wisdom, skill in living. You know how to live and to make right decisions. Get understanding. Forget it not. Neither decline from the words of my mouth. If you have wisdom, forsake wisdom not. And she shall preserve thee. Love her, wisdom, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing, verse 7 says. Therefore get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt wisdom, and she shall promote thee, and she shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. And she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, and a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. You know, there's a lot of people in our land that don't have a crown of glory, but of dishonor, because they have made some bad decisions in their life. They have lived in such a way that has brought dishonor to themselves. We need wisdom to know how to live and how to instruct ourselves in the way we should go. You know, wisdom, life is like decisions built upon decisions. Somebody once said this: decisions determine destiny. Where are you going to end up in life? You know, a little decision here, a little decision there, another decision, little one, and pretty soon we've carved out a life. But if you don't walk in God's ways and get his wisdom, where are you going to end up? Are you going to bemoan yourself at the end of your life, the kind of life you've lived and what's happened to you? There was once a very wealthy man, a millionaire, and at his funeral, he said these words, just before on his deathbed, before he passed away. He said these words. He goes, "I would have given all my money away for just one of my six marriages to work." Now, when I read that, I just thought about that. You know, he had worldly wisdom to make money, but he didn't have heavenly wisdom to make a life. And there's a lot of people, they have earthly wisdom. They can make money and they can run a business and they can be successful, but they're a failure at life. They can't raise a family. They can't keep a wife. They don't know how to build relationships. It's so sad. But God's word, what does he say? He says, get wisdom. Be skilled in living. Not earthly wisdom that's in this world, but heavenly wisdom. It's important to think ahead. It's important to have God's wisdom and to understand the way God understands things. Because if we walk in worldly wisdom, we're going to be bankrupt as a nation. If we walk in worldly wisdom, we can be bankrupt relationally. And morally and spiritually, we can be bankrupt if we don't embrace God's word and the wisdom of God's word. In closing here, there's an ancient Indian legend that tells a story here. There was a king that loved to play chess. And he challenged people, and he would almost all the time win. But there was one guy who came to visit him. He was a very wise man, and the king wanted to take him on in a chess game. And to entice him to play, the king said that he would give this wise man that was visiting him whatever reward he asked. And they played the game, and guess what? The wise man won, the king lost. And you know what the wise man asked? He said, "I just want one grain of rice placed on the square on the chessboard, and then each square double it." The king was elated. He thought, "Oh, that's nothing. Just one grain of rice?" He was so happy to oblige the wise man. So the king ordered a bag of rice brought in, and they put one grain of rice, but the next one had to have two, and the third one had to have four, and the fourth one had to have eight, and the fifth one had to have 16, and the sixth one, do you see how it's going? 32, 64, 128, do you see the progression? On each square. Well, to the horror of the king, it became pretty apparent, because by the time you get to the 21st square of the chessboard, do you know how many grains of rice that would be? 1,000,000 grains of rice. And by the time you got to the 31st square on the chessboard, that would be over 1,000,000,000 grains of rice. You know what this wise man did? He just set himself up for life for food. He was set for life. And the king didn't even realize it when he agreed to that. But you see, one little small decision like a grain of rice can impact you for a lifetime. And you need God's wisdom. You know why? Because you're not infinite. You're finite. God is eternal. He knows the end from the beginning. And God says here in verse 5, you better get wisdom. You better get understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth what I have to say. Because you're going to be a blessed person if you embrace God's word. Because so many times we think our decisions of this one grain of rice, that's insignificant. But you multiply it over days and years of poor decisions, and all of a sudden you're in a place where you don't want to be. You know, what does sin do to us? It takes us where we don't want to be. It makes us pay a price we don't want to pay. And it keeps us longer than we want to stay. That's what sin does to us. And God says, you get wisdom, and I want to get you off that pathway. You get wisdom, and I'm going to show you how you can have victory over sin. You get wisdom, and I'm going to show you how you've got a dysfunctional relationship. I can show you how, by prayer and working, that I can help restore broken relationships. Sometimes you can do everything right, but the person on the other end isn't receiving God's word. Because when two people are yielded to God, you got this person here and this person, and they both want to do God's will, but they're at odds with each other. Guess what? The closer they get to God, the closer they get to each other. That's how God works. When people yield to him, God can do miracles in people's lives. Well, let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've looked at this topic of wisdom and heavenly wisdom and earthly wisdom and the blessing that comes with embracing God's word, what God says in God's way, in God's timing, when we wait on you, God, in the long hours, God, you can do that for us. And Father, in the book of James, you said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. And Father, here this morning as God's people, we ask that you give us wisdom, God. We know the good and right way to take. Lord, Satan's out there as a roaring lion seeking whom he can devour. God, Satan wants to chew us up. He wants us to get us on the wrong path in life. But Lord, we need your wisdom. And God, when you show us your ways, may we walk in obedience and do it, God. Because then we get the blessing. So Lord, bless us toward this end. God, help us to be men and women of faith, that we obey your word, that we're wise people for you, God. Lord, we want to honor you and surrender our lives to you. So God, may we live for you and be men and women of faith, of wisdom, of trust, of obedience. But Lord, as you told us to get wisdom, you'd never tell us to get something that you wouldn't provide for us. So as we cry out for wisdom here, God, we pray for your blessings on our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.